So hello and welcome to this Macbeth podcast. I'm Mrs. Dahl, and joining me to discuss Macbeth's descent from hero to villain are
Mrs. Lyons, Ava, Chloe, Isabel,
Mr. Jones.
Okay. We don't mind when or where you listen, but if you are in a position to take notes, you should grab a pen and paper. Okay, I'll begin with a question. So do we think Macbeth was ever really a hero?
No. Yes.
Ooh, controversial. Go on, no, Isabel.
I think no, because he was killing people anyway. It was like, it's really not that different from each other. He was killing for King Duncan, and then technically he was killing for his wife. So it was like, whatever he was killing for was an order of priority.
I actually agree. Because we've got that quotation, haven't we, where brandishes a steel with bloody execution. And so the word execution shows us that he was always violent, really, doesn't it? Go on, what were you going
to
say?
I think, no, because the point of a hero is to save the day, and if anything, he made it worse, like 10 times worse. King Duncan was comfortable in his position, and he had to ruin that, and then create a bloody reign and ruin everyone's lives from then on, instead of saving them.
Brilliant.
I think yes, because if you think of all of today's hero movies, like Spider-Man, all that, the villain always ends up dead, and it just so happens that he was killing the villain for the king, and then he killed the king for someone else.
Who did he kill the king for?
Lady Macbeth.
So, because what?
She manipulated him to do it.
She did. Why do you think she did that?
Because she wanted power and control just as much as he did.
Okay.
Because of the quote, "The future is instant." It means that she wants it now, and they want it now. Even though Macbeth was quite put off by the idea, they want the power and control right now.
Amazing.
I think that initially he wants to see him as a hero, because he is a great warrior, and yes, he's an executioner, and yes, he is violent, and he will stop at nothing. But he's just celebrated as a great warrior. It was almost like a kind of William Wallace, or you know, in those sort of in history. So for me, he is a hero at the beginning, and he is a hero. I personally think what Shakespeare's trying to show is that how people can get into your heads, and how, whether that be the witches and whether that be his wife, she thinks she's doing what he wants. He's got to have that ambition. He's got to have that want somewhere within him before he actually to go and do the job. You know, otherwise he'd be like, "What? What are you saying? Kill the kid? Are you stupid woman? I'm not doing that." And it wasn't. It was like, "I'll speak another time." He doesn't say, "No, don't ever say that to me again. That's my loyal king." You know, you're talking about my cousin or whatever. So I think that he portrays us as this hero, and what Shakespeare wants us to see is that even a hero, a great warrior, a protector of Scotland, a protector of the king, can have a flaw, can be a villain. Because we often help people up to our pedestal, don't we? Like celebrities, these perfect people, these celebrities, we should see they can do no wrong, but we know that they could be influenced by certain people, they could be influenced by certain choices that they make, then when the downfall happens and then the consequence. But that's my opinion.
Do you have an opinion, Seth?
Yes, I agree with Miss, to be honest. I think Shakespeare originally intended for us to see him as a hero, but I think in the classic, you know, Shakespeare style, you know, he's the tragic hero, and he's shown as this, you know, this great warrior, this hero, someone on a pedestal at the start, so that we can see, you know, it's somewhere for him to fall from. And that's why, you know, he's shown as the hero, and then eventually, because he's the tragic hero, he eventually falls from that position. And so I think that's the intention. Shakespeare wants to show that even a golden, you know, hero, someone to look up to, can fall. And that's why it's often it better to see, you know, see those people from power fall.
Yeah. So do we think then that Macbeth is controlled more by his emotions than his personal qualities as a brave hero?
Yeah. His emotions are definitely, like, you can tell that he doesn't think straight most of the time.
Yeah.
It's like, he doesn't seem like it, when you read the story, he doesn't seem like a very logical person. It seems like his emotions get clouded a lot.
Yeah.
And he just does what he thinks in the moment because he's got like that anger and stuff like that. Like when he was like all like worried about like when he asked that he killed the king and whatever, like to make him seem more innocent, he went and killed all the guards, but he didn't need to do that. That was just his emotions like riling him up and stuff like that. And I don't think Lady Macbeth helped either. I felt like she was like, well, obviously we know she was manipulating him, but she was definitely manipulating his emotions as well. And like, I think like she helped like make them stronger as well. It's like, oh no, you're definitely thinking this right, this is definitely right. But it was just not the logical solution whatsoever.
And then he didn't stop there, did he? Even when she wasn't involved, he went on to kill again and again. He killed Banquo and then he killed Lady Macduff and children. So he kind of, and he did that because he was feeling afraid of them finding out. So he did that to kind of cover his tracks, didn't he, almost? And Lady Macbeth wasn't involved in those murders. So he kind of went rogue, didn't he, and didn't even involve her then. What do you think? Is he guided by his emotions more?
I don't think he is, because it says he's a strong, brave leader. And a leader has to have ambition. Yeah, he was corrupted by the ambition, but he had that ambition. Okay, he may have been afraid, he may have been violent, but he had ambition and he had the skills of a leader all the way throughout.
Good. Like it.
I kind of agree with Isabel and Chloe, where it's like, after he killed Duncan, he was controlled by his emotions because he thought the best thing to do was to just go around and destroy families for himself out of fear, so he was controlled by his fear. But before that, he was just a leader. He was fighting for his king. He wanted the best for his king, and he was trying to make the world a better place for him.
Yeah.
I see more of emotions because I think of the likes of Macduff in the sense that he had his emotions where he was in control of them. When he lost his family, he reacted as any man would, anybody who lost a family in such a tragic way. So he was, in the way he had dealt with that situation was normal. Whereas in the situations that Macbeth presents himself in, he's not able to control his emotions. So it's almost like he was trained to fight, and that's all he knew. So from a very young age, he's a very young age, he was taught how to fight and take instinctively on in the moment. So, you know, such and such is a traitor, they're going to try and take over Scotland, go fight. Off he goes with his swords and stabs people, whatever, and that's the end of it. So it's very instinctive in that way. And then I think that but he knew his moral code, that he knew there was a reason for him to do that. That was right for him to do that. That was what he was supposed to do. And once the witches come along, he had that wobble, and then he didn't know what he was doing. And he needed his constant companion, the woman he respected and the woman that he loved, to constantly say to him, almost like a mother to a child, go, no, you can do it. No, come on, you're doing it. And telling him, pushing him, and keeping his emotions in check. And then as soon as they are not together as a couple, he just goes full on, right, that's it. I'm keeping the crown. Everyone's dead, no kid, a lot of you can go. And isolates himself away. So he loses all sense of who he was, who he is, and loses his emotions completely. And obviously, you know, he can't see things clearly, and ultimately results in his death.
He's not very bright, is he?
No, not really.
You know, really, he's not, is he, when you think he's like this trained soldier and go and fight, and he just goes and fights, and then she says to him, and now you should kill this person, and he does that, and then he gets worried, so he kills that person. He can't like figure out a better solution to it all, can he? And if he sat back and thought, well, if the witches have said that, then it's going to happen anyway.
I mean, there's too little, you know, when he has that move, those moments when he's thinking about killing the king, and he reasons in his head, and he comes to his own conclusion of, you know, why should we be doing this?
Yeah.
And then you know, and obviously when Lady Macbeth dies, and it's really depressing. So again, when he talks about like, oh well, she's gonna die anyway.
Yeah.
But in a sense of, what's the point of us all being here? What's the point of the world? You know, what's the point of life? So there is something there. It's just that, is he easily swayed?
Yeah.
Whereas Banquo is just completely like, you know,
this is right.
this is the right thing to do. I know this is the right thing to do, and no one else is going to persuade me otherwise. This is the right thing to do.
I think that's why, like, at the beginning, he showed their reactions were very, very different.
Yeah.
Like Banquo was immediately like, oh, whatever, you know, I'm just going to go home, this means not on. Because he had, like, a logical brain, and then Macbeth was immediately like, oh, this is true, this is like that, and whatever. And I think that, like, immediately shows, like, a very strong difference between the two. It shows Macbeth is a lot more emotional, and he gets calls up more easily, whereas Banquo is just, like, on the straight and narrow, knows
yeah.
what he's doing, knows who he is,
yeah.
and he's not going to take anything from anyone.
And that's why his sons would have been kings, because Shakespeare had to show that you do the right thing, you live by the moral code, you will come out well in the end. Because King James the First would have wanted that outcome. Don't believe the witches. Do the right thing, and you will have a good life, or your children will, because he won't, because he's dead. Did you have anything you wanted to say?
Well, I think it's probably an unhealthy balance between the both of them. To be honest, I think he starts the story obviously as a strong, brave leader. And that obviously comes with a bit of an ego. And that's why perhaps because he's seen as the leader instead of Banquo, that's why probably he reacts that way to the prophecy instead of, while Banquo's like, hang on.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that probably played a part at the start. But then obviously his emotion, like the way his emotions, the way they're represented, I think are in Lady Macbeth. Like she's the one who plays on his emotions. Mm-hmm. You know, she belittles him sometimes when he's having doubt, moment of doubt, and things like that, and that's when he eventually just snaps, doesn't he? And he starts just doing whatever she says, pretty much.
Yeah, she questions his manhood, doesn't she?
It.
And he, that's obviously important to him as a soldier.
Yeah, and you know, obviously, probably important to every man at the time as well.
Yeah.
So, I think it's an unhealthy balance between the both. Like, they're just a horrible cocktail.
Yeah.
Like that just eventually ended up in tragedy.
It always reminds me of. It's like, you know those same American high school movies, like, you know, like the kind of the football player going, yeah, come on, but the frat party boys.
Yeah.
That kind of, you know, sort of chug, you know, and I can always imagine being like that, and then obviously, you know, he fell in love and then become a bit more serious. But I always think like the brawn and the sort of the, rather than the brain. I mean, there is some sensitivity there is some emotion there, you know, obviously because he knows that he's doing wrong.
He very clearly loves his wife.
Yes, yeah.
Because he calls him dearest and all of this, and my dearest partner of greatness, and all of these things, doesn't he? He always speaks about her like that. She doesn't speak about him like that so much.
No, she insults him.
Yeah. So, finally then, who or what do we think is to blame for Macbeth's descent into villainy?
I don't think there's any specific thing. I think it's just the whole situation. I don't think there was any benefit, in fact, that...
I think it was Macbeth to blame.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay, some people might say it was the witches. The witches gave Banquo and Macbeth predictions. Banquo moved on from it. He knew it would happen one day if it was true. Macbeth had to focus on it. He focused on his emotions, and he took that into, like, lead. So, like, he descended into villainy because he wanted to do something about it. It was his fault. Yeah, Lady Macbeth might have encouraged him, but originally he had those thoughts when the witches were speaking to him.
They played him, didn't they?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I don't know. I think there's a lot of everything that goes into it. And, like, there's all people who are convincing him. But as Chloe said, he is a man. He can make his own choices. And he made the choice to kill those people and be a horrible king. And that's down to him.
Yeah.
I agree.
Me too.
I think, you know, and a whole lot, you know, for Shakespeare at the time, he had to please people pleasing the popular choices at the time, and is always he into, and he's obviously wants to people please with King James, and he wants to obviously keep people coming to see his plays and carry on writing plays and make money and everything. So a lot of the source of the reasoning behind the writing comes from those things. But I think ultimately what I love about it is that you can release it into just modern day society as well. Is that, you know, you take responsibility for your actions. It doesn't matter who comes into your life or what people say or what people do. Ultimately, he had the dagger, he killed the king. And he could have said no, he could have stopped it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I agree too. I think there's a lot of deciding factors. But as for your exam, you can say, any of those things if you're asked that question, as long as you're supporting it and saying why and giving reasons. So you could blame the witches if that is what you wanted to do in your exam because you knew lots of things about the witches. Or you could blame Lady Macbeth because you know lots about her. You just have to justify the reasons to do it. But they would all be right answers. Because it's your opinion.
I always say it's the witches chose him for a reason, and that's because they knew they had him.
To be honest,
but that's his fault. It's because of the way, just the way he is. So I think that's where I stand on it.
Yeah, because like it's like the savior, isn't it? Like they have they've got the cards marked. So who should be picked today?
Yes.
we'll get him.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.